Did you come with an appetite for the Word of God today? I hope and pray that you did. And I just want to say, you might not like what I have to say today. Christ calls us to some deep commitments, and our natural man wants to war against the supernatural call of God. Today's message is called Radical Dependence. And on the surface, this message is about giving and praying and fasting. But bottom line, it's about surrender and dependence upon God for all things. It's first about God, and then about you, and then about God in you, and about you in God. Now, I would imagine that most people here at least heard this title about a year ago, maybe saw the film, maybe didn't. It is called Eat, Pray, Love. And today, rather than talking about Eat, Pray, Love, which I want to make a comparison, we're saying the film of our life is about Give, Pray, Fast. And I find it interesting that in Eat, Pray, Love, it was about food, and we'll speak about denying ourselves today. And it was about prayer, and we'll speak about true prayer today. And that movie was about finding love, and we'll find that God so loved the world that He what? He gave. So giving is love. But in the film Eat, Pray, Love, a lady named Elizabeth Gilbert, portrayed by Julia Roberts, is newly divorced, and she embarks on a journey around the world to find herself. And in her travel, she goes to Italy and then to India and finally Bali. And she's looking for a deeper meaning for life. She was so miserable in her marriage, a successful career woman, had everything you would want, but she was so miserable she often found herself sleeping on the bathroom floor at night. And she separated from her husband, initiated a divorce, and embarked on a newfound rebound relationship, and it fell apart and left her devastated. She didn't find what she was looking for. And she begins as a writer to write this article about yoga and goes to Bali, and she meets a ninth generation medicine man. And he tells her she'll come back someday and study with him. And after finalizing her divorce, she spends the next year traveling around the world. And she spends 4 months in Italy eating and enjoying life. She spent 3 months in India finding her spirituality. In Hinduism. She ended the year in Bali, Indonesia, looking for a balance of the two, and she found love in the form of a Brazilian factory owner. In response to that movie, I say, ha! And then I say, you know, that's the search we're all on. It seems our lives are often about searching, searching, searching. And sometimes we too find meaningless vanity, thinking from time to time, I found it. In the same search, the search in Solomon's life, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he looks here, he looks there, and his response is, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And he sums up that book by saying, you know, it's found here in keeping the commandments of the Lord. That's our duty. So we would find the answer to our search is not found in Italy or food. It's not found in India or pseudo-spirituality, or finding our balance in Bali, or even in the most magical human relationship. None of them last. To the Epicurean inside of you and to the Stoic inside of you, the answer is the same. Our answer is found in Christ. The film of our life journey is entitled Give, Pray, Fast rather than Eat, Pray, Love. It's the same journey, but with the right answer. And it's interesting, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity on man's heart. Wonder why we search? Wonder why that's so interesting to watch people seek an answer? It's because we are eternal creatures living in temporal bodies, and God made us so. We're looking for meaning, and some look everywhere. Some find it, some don't. It's a supernatural instinct, wouldn't you say? Implanted by God. It's surely by God's design that we search. And then when we find it, the true answer is found in Him. That's by God's design. Seek and you shall find. So let's go on today to investigate these three visible Christian practices of giving and praying and fasting. And we'll discover that they are all rooted in one invisible source with one underlying motivation. And that is this: my dependence on God. In the Sermon on the Mountainside today, we'll see that Jesus says, in the deepest depths, when you're a kingdom walker, you will seek God. And that will have you to give and to pray and to fast. Now these practices, giving and praying and fasting, knowing what you know about Jesus, remembering what we've already learned from the Sermon on the Mount, you answer the question, do you think giving and praying and fasting are to be outward and mechanical or inward and natural? Why, on Sunday morning at North Street, you can answer the question, right? You know what Jesus is after, but somehow we have a tendency to make them outward and mechanical, don't we? We give outwardly and mechanically. We pray outwardly and mechanically. And when we might dare to fast, we do it outwardly and mechanically, or we can. But Jesus said these are of the inner man. These are practices that come from the spiritual core. They're at the root of a person. They are that radical that we're talking about. And so, understand today, it's not coming to a doctrinal understanding of prayer. It's not coming to a doctrinal understanding of giving. It's not coming to a doctrinal understanding of fasting. It's childlike faith that Jesus said, here, when you do these things, do them unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do these things. So I would classify them, that is, giving and praying and fasting, as basic spiritual instincts. See, it's a natural for the supernatural man, but it's unnatural for the natural man. It's not natural for us to give, is it? I mean, until the supernatural man takes over, why would we work so hard and give it to someone else? And get this, how can I give something to someone else and be giving it to God? Last evening in our Wednesday night children's ministry planning meeting, Fee Saylor read a children's book to us. It's written by Francis Chan. It was called Ronnie Wilson's Gift. And it's a story of how a little boy learns how God loves him and he wants to give Jesus his baseball glove. And I won't tell you the whole story, but in the end, in a dream, Jesus shows him, I used you this way, this way, this way, this way. And when you did it to the least, you did it to me. And probably the most astounding thing at the meeting last night, of all the good plans and great ideas, I left like a little kid saying, man, Ronnie Wilson's gift was cool. I need to get that, don't you? To say, there's a need. I have a way to meet it. Let me minister unto Jesus. We make it so complicated. And Jesus didn't make it complicated. I mean, it's not a naturally natural thing to pray. I mean, we're self-dependent. We're independent. Yet in prayer, we're to be God-dependent all of the time. Day and night. So you see, these are not natural for the natural man. So today, I want us to consider the giving of our money and our stuff and our deeds. I want us to consider praying, which naturally, supernaturally, becomes our all-consuming mindset. In the end, that's what Paul said. He said, pray without ceasing. So Jesus said, once you start this thing, Paul says, you'll never quit. Prayer will be your breath. And the tuned in, natural, supernatural practice of fasting, which Christians do where the temporal, earthy things are denied in exchange for spiritual realities. As we call out in self-denial unto God for blessing, deliverance, and wisdom. And I have to repent in front of you, at least verbally. I have battled God for a couple of years. I used to be more attuned to self-denial. And I have to say it's hard for me to preach on fasting right now, but I must preach the truth, so you'll have to give me grace. What I say, I know happens because I used to be there. So we will find in these three things, giving and fasting and praying, a radical dependence, a core dependence, an inside-out dependence, a personal dependence, whether anybody else does it or not. It's a radical dependence upon God in our common walk. And these practices may be noticed by others, but they're done unto the Lord. And they're not to be done to be noticed by others. So let me talk first of all about being radically dependent. Dependent isn't a popular word in our vocabulary. Who wants to be a dependent? That's what you are when you're a little kid or you're disabled and somebody has to claim you on their income tax. That's your dependent. And when I speak of dependent today, I'm going to use it in this way. I'm speaking more specifically about a dependency. And when I say dependency, I'm speaking as if someone has a dependency where we most likely begin to think about someone who has a substance dependency. Like on drugs or alcohol, what we call a chemical dependency. And I just want you to understand when someone does, and maybe you have, or maybe you know someone that has, you know this is true. When someone does, they readily admit they have an all-consuming mindset about it. I need it. And when you don't have it, you're thinking about getting it. And when you get it, and it takes over your life, and trying to be undone with it, you're getting undone with it so that you can go back to using again. And it takes over every thought. You go to work and you think about it. You go to sleep and you think about it. You can't sleep because you're thinking about it. It's an all-consuming mindset. And when people are chemically dependent, they give sacrificially to it. They sacrifice things they need just to get it. They won't pay their bills because they're going to get it. And they bow down to it and they call out to it. It's as if they pray to their drug or their alcohol, and they deny their daily sustenance to give it. They won't eat so that they can get their drug. It becomes, number one, they honor it as the substance, and the practice becomes the worship of a small g god in their lives. Now, anybody that knows it, if you've been there or know somebody it is, understand how consuming it is, how dependent they become. And today, I'm examining with you the words of Christ where He promotes a God dependence. It's that radical that you think about it constantly, that you sacrifice for it, that you can't go to sleep without thinking about it. You bow down to it. He becomes your God. And Jesus says this is a desirable way to live, radically dependent. So here they are. When we tune into the kingdom of God, here are these spiritually instinctive actions that come about. The first is, as those who walk in the kingdom of Christ becoming God-dependent, there's a desire to be giving back to God. In Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses, Jesus said this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret, as your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus did not teach the doctrine of giving. He didn't say, here's why you should tithe, or here's why you need to be, you know, the steward of all that you have, and God is the owner of all things. He simply said, people give. It's spiritually instinctive to give and to give back to God. And he said, hypocritically, lots of people make a show of giving. And we don't have named Pharisees in our church, but which one of us is not pharisaical at times? Who doesn't wear a false face? Who doesn't like to be noticed every once in a while for the sacrifice you made? And Jesus said, listen, when you do that, that's your reward. You know, if people think you're just the most sacrificial person in the world, then that's it. There's no eternal reward for that. You just get man's praise. But he said, listen, if you're God dependent, you will give. And you'll give to meet the need. And proverbially, he's saying, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. The right hand is the hand that works. Think of a right-handed world. And he says that's how you normally give. And he's not just talking about giving money. He's talking about giving of our things and doing good deeds. He says, you know where the reward is? It's in just doing it. And if you give, God notices. But it's instinctive to be a giver. And so we would say on the giving thing, there's this desire to give to God by doing to others. I mean, that Sermon on the Mountainside, remember what he's doing? He's just fleshing out his kingdom. And saying it begins with being broken, talks about being salt and light. Then he takes the law and he says, you know, you've heard it said, now let me tell you how it is. Now listen, here are some things that are going to happen to you. When you walk with God, you're going to need God more and more and more. And when you're needing God and you get hooked on God, one of the things that will happen to you is you have this instinct to be giving. And when that instinct comes out, be careful because you could really mess up right then and say, look at me, I'm walking with the Lord. Like Peter walking on the water, you know, for a step or two and say, wow, I got it. Jesus said, no, no, no. The getting it is in the doing it. Just do it. And then secondly, the second spiritual instinct is consistent or constant communication with God. That happens to us. When we yield and become a kingdom walker, we've got to stay in touch. God becomes our consuming mindset. You know, I was thinking earlier today about all of our electronic devices, and they're mostly about communication. And with a telephone, I can talk, I can text, I can Twitter, I can Facebook, I can do a whole lot of things. In fact, my wife's on her way home from Myrtle Beach with Donna Chirilla, and she told me yesterday she'd be home about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And so starting at 2 o'clock yesterday, on the hour, I send her a text, 24, 23, 22. I'm down to 4 hours till I get to see my wife. And I'm thinking, you know, as somebody's married 39 years, I've done this before, I hated this one. And it's just because I want to stay in touch. I want to be with her. You see, I want her back with me. And that's the same motivation in your prayer unto the Lord. You understand? You just want to talk to your dad. So what's wrong with that? Nobody has to teach that. You don't have to get the doctrine of prayer down to be a childlike, you know, lover that says, Dad, are you there? I'm okay. Are you okay? Dad, I'm not okay. How are we going to fix this? That's what prayer is. And Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 5 to 8. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they can be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. You know, if you pray to impress other people and you use big doctrinal words and say, Father, 1,000 times in your prayer, you know, sometimes we just Father this, Father that. And pretty soon we realize we're praying unto men, not unto God. In fact, I asked Andy, I was supposed to pray today, and I said, Andy, you prepare your heart better than I do for the Lord. I don't want to pray today. And every time I preach on this subject, I think I can't pray in public anymore because it just slays you to do that because you have to be right before God. But he says, Don't be like them. That is your reward when people say, oh, look how holy you are. He says, but instead, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, He will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I read that phrase and I say, then why pray? I mean, if my dad already knows everything I need and he's got a plan for my, then why pray? And the best answer I have to that question is, for the same reason you talk to your father, your dad, your husband, your wife. You know, when you're a little kid and you just need to talk to dad, he has a plan. He takes care of the house. He makes the provision. Mom cooks the food. You have a bed. But you still communicate, don't you? You still get in there and say, wow, what's it all about? And that's how natural prayer should be for us. And Jesus then gives this illustration for praying. With the Lord's Prayer, don't make a rote, repetitive prayer out of what Jesus said. He said, here's your model for praying. He said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Just recognize God's fatherhood and God's glory first. You're God, I'm not. I'm praying to you because you are all-sufficient. You are omniscient. You are all-powerful, and I'm not. And then He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. He says, when you pray, line yourself up with God. He's in charge, you're not. Let His will be done in our lives, not our will, just like it's done in heaven. Let your kingdom be on earth. And then give us our daily bread. You see, God's provision, our daily sustenance comes from Him. And forgive us as we forgive others. God's grace is in our prayers. Oh, I need God's grace. And oh, I need to give God's grace. See, when we go before Him privately and we pour our hearts out, it's like holding up that spiritual mirror and we see that we need to be done with self again and again and again. And Father, keep us from evil. Deliver us. Don't let us dwell in the land of temptation. And we call out for God's deliverance. That's the prayer model. But listen, it's not a formula. It's as simple as talking to your Father. And then thirdly, there's a spiritually instinctive practice. I guess I should say prayer is God always on my mind, always in my heart. The third spiritually instinctive practice we talked about, giving and praying, according to Jesus, is fasting. And that's going without temporal sustenance to find God, to beseech God. It's saying, I have such a need, Lord. I can't dwell on the temporal things of this earth. I can only dwell on the eternal right now. And I just want you to see that Jesus said in Matthew 6, starting in verse 16, when you fast. And He didn't teach the doctrine of fasting. He just said, when you do this, kingdom walker. You see, it's supernaturally natural for us to give. Supernaturally natural for us to pray. And as foreign as it is even to us, it's supernaturally natural to fast. And He said, when you do fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. And they disfigure their faces that their fasting can be seen of others. And He says, they receive their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. He just says, get up, fix your hair the way you normally do, and wash your face. And that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by the Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so in those days, I mean, when the Pharisees decided to put on a fast, they did dress and they put on makeup to make it look like they were fasting. And Jesus is saying, you know, if you're fasting, you don't you know, come to church with your gut sucked in and shuffling your feet and say, oh, no, I'm fasting to the Lord today. He said, you just show up like you normally do. Put that smile on your face and you fast unto the Lord. And so we see here that in fasting, the message is, I want God more than I want food. And therein lies my battle. I've shared that with you for too many years. I don't want to go into, you know, making you feel sorry for me, but I've got to tell you, there's times I know I need to fast, and I choose food over God. That's my battle, and yours might be in the same place. But not only do I believe that we need to fast from food on occasion, I think it's good for us when we're so full of stuff, we need to put it down for a while. I think it's a good idea to fast from television, at least on occasion. You know, A year and a half ago, bought myself an easy chair, and several months ago, a big screen, and it's just easier and easier to plop down and run everything. I have a remote control fan, and I can make it swivel or just blow on me. And, you know, but on TV, I've watched so many crime shows and drug shows and murder shows. It's like, when am I going to be fooled? And I am. And reality show, and I just think, time for a break. And I think music is the same. Sometimes we just pound our heads. Even with Christian music, sometimes I think we need to take a fast. I think we miss hearing God because we're just pounding ourselves with everything that's out there, even the spiritual stuff. But we're not hearing the voice of God. And God calls us to take a break. So here they are. Now, isn't it interesting to me that Jesus said, in this kingdom, there's going to be this supernatural instinct that has you want to give, have you want to pray, and have you want to do without things of the earth to hear the voice of God. Think of all the things that He could have said that were naturally instinctive. You know, He didn't do a Great Commission thing here. He didn't say, and when you go into all the world. He didn't say, and when you want to, you know, start a business in order to bless. He just said, these things are the ones that come out. And I think there's, you know, something profound about that. But here's what I want to say today as we put these things in order. To give, to pray, to fast. These are not so natural for the natural mind, but they are natural for the supernatural mind. And so, no wonder they don't make sense to us. Because the natural man still wars against the supernatural man, right? And as much as we know, I want to give, I need to give, there's a need, you know, we've got to get acquainted with the world situation. And to know in places like Somalia, I was eating, and they put a picture of a baby with a head bigger than the rest of its body, and its eyes popping out, and I about threw up. Say, here I am. My big fan and my big chair and my big screen eating my big meal. And right now, baby after baby, mother after mother, are dying. We have to be tuned in. And we have to be tuned into our next door neighbor. They may not be starving to death physically, but let me tell you, all around us they're starving to death spiritually. And so, that battle still takes place. You know, I can still remember in junior high school not finishing your meal at school, and some teacher would say, you know, kids in Haiti, you know, would give their eye teeth for that, and we'd say, wrap it up and send it to them and throw it in the trash, you know. That's how we deal with it. We say, this is America. That's not how we deal with it. Notice that when we walk in God's kingdom, We go from receiving and taking, you know, the mindset that says, I deserve it, to giving and doing. That's what Jesus said. There's going to be a change in you when you walk with me. When you're broken, when Andy read those Beatitudes during the song, you know, what a beautiful thing that we go from that brokenness to that mourning to being healed up, being dedicated to God's kingdom. And Jesus is now just laying that same transparency over here and saying, you know what's going to happen to you when you're doing the right thing? You're going to want to give and give and give, and you won't be such a taker. And you go from thinking of self first to thinking of God first. From self-talk to God-talk. From needing me to needing Him and being done with me. You become like John the Baptist. I must become less that He might become the greatest. See, that happens to us. That's not doctrine. That's the subjective experience of walking with Christ. It happens for real. And we go from consuming, I want more and more and more, to abstaining, to say, these things are killing me. I want God more than I want these things. So in conclusion, I have these things to say about the story of your life. Give, pray, fast. First of all, these disciplines of giving and praying and fasting expose the deeper recesses of your heart. That's why Jesus chose them, because that's just absolutely true. If you don't give, there's something wrong with you spiritually. If you don't pray, there's something wrong. And dare I say, if we don't fast, we're not tapping in to all that God has to offer. And notice this, Jesus didn't defend them. He didn't give us a formula. We love formulas. We figure if I'm saying my, you know, morning and evening prayers, doing my devotions, putting in my tithes, and we don't even consider fasting in the evangelical church for the most part, that we're okay with God. And Jesus doesn't work that way. He didn't defend them, He just taught them. And we have the doctrines down, but how about the practice? It's time to quit arguing about them and do them. I mean, I hear people say, do I really have to give? No, you don't have to give. If you're walking with God, you won't ask, do I have to give? You'll give, even when it doesn't make sense to give. You'll give. And as soon as I say give, you think of brass plates on Sunday morning. It goes way beyond that. And as soon as I say that, you think, oh, I don't have to give in the offering. I'll just make a meal for my neighbor. You know, whatever God tells you to give, give. Walk with Him. He'll define that for you. You know, people say, the church just wants my money. I don't give because. I even heard a guy say that he doesn't give because he pays his taxes. And in the Old Testament, they actually end up giving about 23 1/3%. And part of that went for the welfare of the people. And since our government provides for the welfare of the people by paying our taxes, we're giving to God. And it's like, okay, well, you know, if that's where, tell God about that, not me. That's not what it's about. You know, if you're not a giver, try giving sacrificially for a cause. And you'll find God in a whole different way. Fasting. You know, when it comes to fasting in the evangelical church, most often we say, well, Jesus' disciples didn't fast, therefore we don't fast. Or you won't find fasting commanded anywhere in the Bible, not even in the law. But Jesus said, when you fast. And I would just encourage you, decide to give up your temporal sustenance for a day or two. I don't think one meal's enough. The Hebrew, when they fasted, it was evening to evening, because their day started in the evening rather than the morning. But I'd say give it up for a day or two, so that you may be cleansed. Okay, and I don't mean just cleansed, you know, diet-wise. That helps. But cleansed out spiritually, to say, you know, I'm thinking a lot more about God because I'm not thinking so much about food or TV or music or whatever it may be. Be cleansed and filled, and you'll find a different spiritual result if you fast. Quit quit telling me why the Bible doesn't command it. That Jesus isn't working on that level. He's working on an organic level, on a radical level, on the inside man level that says, you want God more than stuff. Give up the stuff so you can see God. And we talk about prayer, you know, everybody says this, yeah, I pray, but not like I should. And we usually end up going out and buying another book or going to a small group on prayer as if we're going to find this missing piece of the puzzle, you know, that you're not inserting in the name of Jesus in the right place. And once you start to do this, all this will happen. That's not what Jesus is about. He just says, just call out like a little child. Stick with it. And here's what happens when you stick with prayer. Either your circumstance will change or you will change. You understand that? When Paul said, Lord, change my circumstance, God said, no, I don't do that. You need to change. He said, depend on my grace. And Paul concluded, you know, I like it this way. Because when I'm God-dependent, that's when I'm strong. And so that's the level we're dealing with. Do these things. Give, fast, pray. They expose the deeper recesses of your heart. Giving and praying and fasting are the most private of disciplines. Now, when you do these things, people may notice. But that's okay. If you do them that people may notice, that's not okay. Jesus said, just do them. Do them unto the Father in my name. So he says, you know, these are secret. They are private. And it's between you and the Lord. Not between you and you. See, oftentimes when we say that's between you and the Lord, a guy says, yeah, that's none of your business, then, is it? I'll take care of that. There's no communication with the Lord. It's communication with self. But it is a private discipline. Giving and praying, fasting are the most easily perverted of disciplines. We know what that means. We can all become hypocritical. We can all be put on a false face about our giving and our praying and our fasting. If our motivation is to be seen of men, that's how it gets perverted. Giving and praying and fasting are the most natural yet unnatural disciplines. They're not natural to the natural man, but they are natural to the supernatural man. Let me illustrate. On giving, back in Genesis 14, listen to this. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High and blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High, who's delivered your enemies into your hand. And then it says, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. That was pre-law. That was pre-priesthood. That was pre-tabernacle. That was pre-sacrifice. At least the setting up of the sacrificial system. It was just natural, supernaturally natural for God or for Abram to say, I want to give back, for God has blessed me. And that's the level what Jesus is speaking on here, because God loved you so much, you just want to give. Without command, it becomes supernatural, natural. No command, he just did it. To pray, back in Genesis 4, it says, and Abram knew his wife, and she bore a son and named him Seth, for she said, God's appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. And then the Bible says, and at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. God didn't come out of the sky and start saying, now you're going to start praying to me, people. See, as Solomon said, God put eternity in our hearts and it becomes natural to call out to the Lord. That's the level what Jesus is speaking of. To fast? There's no command to fast in the Bible. This is as close as it gets. Fasting actually means to afflict the soul. See, to prick the soul, to wake up the soul. To get to the spiritual man inside and shake him up. And you know how we do that? By denying ourselves the temporal stuff, because the temporal stuff drowns out the spiritual man. Do you understand that? The more we're dumping in of the physical, the less we become spiritually, you know, attuned, because it's drowned out with money and food and TV and music and fast and electronic, and you know, we can just go and go and go and go. And there comes a time where we stop. You know when fasting is first mentioned in the Bible? It's not even called fasting. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's the story of Hannah. And Hannah was married to a man who had another wife. Her name was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah did not have children. And Hannah wanted to have children. And it says, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Peninnah made a show of it to say, I've got kids and you don't. And so it went on year by year. Year by year, Hannah was tortured. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah used to provoke her. And it says, therefore Hannah wept and she would not eat. Just natural. God didn't say, Hannah, fast. She just said, I've got to get an answer from God. I'm beseeching God. I need God to change my circumstance. I will not eat because I need God. So she prayed and she fasted. She wept and she fasted. And in 1 Samuel 1:20 it says, and in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Now let me ask you, did God open her womb through fasting and prayer? Coincidence? Or the hand of God? Because this woman supernaturally, naturally denied self, called out to God. And I want to say, when we're serious enough, when God calls us to stop, you know, the temporal things that are drowning the spiritual man, when we're serious enough, perhaps we ought to afflict our souls more often, because it appears the hand of God does move mightily. Now, don't walk out of here saying, I got a new tool. I know how to get what I want. I just won't eat till God gives it to me. You missed the whole lesson. So I'm amazed. How much does it cost to fast, to pray, to give? Nothing but everything. That's the call of God. Lay down your life. Giving and praying and fasting are the most disclosing of disciplines. They show the real man or the real woman. When we don't practice them, that tells us who we are. When we practice them for to be seen of men, that tells us who we are. And when we practice them unto the Lord, that tells us who we are. And there's something I've got to say, is God always knows your motivation. The next most informed is you. You may know your motivation. You see, our hearts are most deceptive. Sometimes we are messed up and we think this is to God. And it's not to God, it's to yourself or to impress other people or whatever. I've seen lots of guys get holy to be the man that girl's looking for. Once they get her, back to who he normally was. I've seen that happen lots of times, not just in marriage. I've seen it in, you know, everything you can think of. You know, whether it's to borrow money from a Christian and you act like a Christian to borrow the money, or whether it's to, you know, use something of theirs, or just get in the graces of the church or whatever. It can be manipulated all over the place. But it's the most disclosing. You know if you're a fake or not. And I would say that giving and praying and fasting are the hardest but least practiced of the disciplines. And that's just evidenced in our lives. You ever had a standoff with God? Is he ever trying to break you in a certain area? And you know you need to get on your knees and you need to call out to God and you need to pour out to God. And you hear him saying, you get on your knees and you deny yourself of food. Yet somehow you just keep doing the same thing. Nothing changes. How long is a standoff going to last? So, as I close, let me remind you from the Word. Matthew 5:20, Jesus said this, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You won't get kingdom eyes unless you're more God-dependent than the scribes and Pharisees were, because their righteousness was hypocritical self-righteousness. And God doesn't say you need to be more self-righteous than the Pharisees and the scribes. Theirs was a pseudo-righteousness. Yours has to be the real righteousness. And the real righteousness comes from being dependent on God. And then Paul helps us a lot in Romans 14. He says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not keeping dietary laws. It's not mechanical things." He said the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what we deal in. That's the currency of God's kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, he says, "The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." And so I simply want to say, when we give, and when we pray, and when we fast, we now are dealing in God's currency. They produce righteousness and peace and joy and the power of God in our lives. See, we have a radical, a core, a base dependence upon God. So I can say it. I'm God dependent. Are you? Almighty Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, once again, we want to be done with self. We want to be the least, that you might be the greatest. We want to, Father, have you to be glorified. But somehow, the minute we get in front, it happens again. The minute we lead the way, Father, we have this tendency to draw attention to self. And so today, Lord, I pray for all of us that we would not be so much bent toward doctrinal arguments. Jesus didn't say there was a place to pray, a posture to pray, clothes to wear. He just said, pray when we pray. And Father, when we argue about giving and not giving and choosing who I will bless and I will not bless, let us be more like the story we had. Ronnie Wilson just wanted to take what he had and somehow give it to God. We want to be like that, Lord. And Father, on the fasting issue, I hardly can stand before you, for I know better. And you've used your word to mentally bring me to repentance, Father, and I will, as the battle takes place in me, Lord, I will see if I will yield. And I know there are others right there with me, but Father, I don't bring them, I bring me before them. Don't know why, I just said what I said, Father. It's of your Spirit, your name. So Lord, just let us give and pray and fast unto you with righteousness and joy and peace and power. In the holy name of Jesus.